Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. I hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a very good weekend. We are here with you 12:04 to 1 each weekday, and we stream the show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we make it very easy for you to hear the program as we have a podcast at buckmastershow.com. TucsonCitizen.com and TucsonSentinel.com all have our program available for you. The Friday Focus interview today is with Mike Varney. Mr. Varney, the president and CEO of the Metro Tucson Chamber of Commerce. Mike came to Tucson in 2011 from North Las Vegas, where he headed that community's chamber. Joining me to question Mike Varney, Mark Evans is with us. Administrator of the Gannett Corporation-owned TucsonCitizen.com, which is a community of bloggers of which the Buckmaster Show is proud to be a contributor. If you have a question or comment, you can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, 790-2040. Mike Varney would be delighted to hear from you and entertain your questions or comments. You can also follow us on our growing Facebook presence. It's very easy to find us on Facebook. It's my name, Bill Buckmaster. Mike, how are you today?
Very well. Thank you, Bill. Thanks for the invitation.
It's good to see you again. And Mark, how are things going?
I'm hanging in there.
Okay. It's good to see you both. Earlier this summer, a published report gave the perception, Mike, that you and the chamber were actually moving away from the long Tucson nickname, Old Pueblo, which our historian friend Ken Scoville on the show earlier this week said he's traced it back to the 1870s when it first appeared in the paper, calling it the old and ancient honorable old, no, the ancient and honorable Old Pueblo. But regardless of that, was there ever a move away to change that nickname?
In a word, no. It's not something that the chamber has ever discussed. It's not something that we have ever offered, ever promoted. The origin, Bill, if you'll allow me just to share with you the origin, came from a star writer, an event that we had that a star writer, an Arizona Daily Star writer, attended. And in the program for that particular event, we had the following letter from our chairman and me greeting people at this event called the Chairman's Luncheon. And I'll paraphrase here, mm-hmm. but way down in the text of this letter, so some of this may be a little out of context, it says, Tucson has a choice. We can remain the old Pueblo, or we can do whatever is necessary to propel ourselves forward to grow, prosper, and compete with other cities and regions for the bounties of free enterprise. The old Pueblo is great for history buffs, but a new mindset and attitude toward prosperity is long overdue. So somehow that got twisted into a headline a few days later in the Star that says, Chamber of Commerce thinks Old Pueblo is old hat, wants a new nickname. We never talked about changing the nickname. We really have no interest in that. What we do want to do is we want to have a progressive, modern attitude and mindset about developing our local economy and capturing opportunity.
Here's Mark Evans from TucsonCitizen.com.
So what is that mindset?
That mindset is that we do everything we can to compete in a global economy. It's more than a regional economy. It's more than a state economy and more than a national economy. We're in a global economy, and opportunities, especially the really good ones with high-paying jobs, just don't come along all that often. And I sense that sometimes we're more prone to look with skepticism on opportunity rather than to embrace it. And if we embrace opportunity and we start with a yes posture and then work out the details, which may lead us to no, we too often start with the skeptical perception that starts with no and makes companies earn their way into our community, and that not very many communities do that. And I think we really have to start by embracing every opportunity that comes down the pike, vet the details as we go, but the initial attitude should be one that you are welcome here.
So is the Interstate 11 resistance part of that no mentality that you're talking about?
Could be. There's several different versions of I-11. Mark, as you know, the mayor wants to double-deck it. The county wants to bring a bypass in west of the Tucson metro area. I can't say that I'm enough of an expert on the details, the construction details of both of those, but to answer your question, could be that people just don't, it's change, it's something new, and there are a lot of people who are just uncomfortable with change. I mean, we, as a city, I-10 and I-19 weren't always here. They came in at some point in time, and consider where our community would be today if we did not have interstate transportation here, which obviously has a footprint in the desert, just as I-11 will. So I think we need to step back, and we need to say we all need to be good environmental stewards. We all breathe the same air. We all drink the same water. We need to be good environmental stewards, but we can't let an environmental agenda or any other agenda torpedo what could be vital to the future economy of our community. And the future economy of our community is tied to the well-being of local citizens. So it's a whole package. It isn't just the environment. It isn't just I-11 or some other economic opportunity. It's the whole package. So that's what I would say was driving that.
You know, I think this tendency, Mike Varney and Mark, to say no goes back. Well, when I did my undergraduate work, I was here from 65 to 69, and there was a very strong no growth feeling in this community. We pointed in many ways to places like Portland, right?
Right.
Yeah, and other places. And I wonder if that some of this initial tendency to say the negative no to something new coming in goes back to that.
It very well could, Bill. I've lived in a community before moving here to Tucson where growth was a serious issue, and that city was Las Vegas, as you mentioned in my introduction. I lived in Las Vegas at a time when the Las Vegas metro was growing at a rate of, I know you're going to find this statistic hard to believe, 60,000 people a month were moving to Las Vegas, and the city and county authorities had to manage that because there was no way you're going to build a moat or build a wall and slam the door. People wanted to move to the Southwest. And there was a lot to like about that community. The state has no state income tax. So a lot of people were moving to Las Vegas. So instead of stepping back and saying, well, we don't want growth, we're not going to build freeways, we're not going to put in the infrastructure, what they did is they said, we have to change the way that we grow. And Las Vegas, and I'm sure they weren't the first community, but Las Vegas really did a great job of keeping the infrastructure one step ahead of the residential and commercial development, and they adopted what's called a smart growth strategy. They really, I don't know if they pioneered this or not, but they went to a high-density housing platform where instead of homes having half-acre and one-acre lots, as they had done for years there, very, very, very small footprints for the homes and the yards, and they were able to control the growth and sprawl of the city, yet still welcome in the economic vitality and the growth. And it was a great compromise on how to handle this influx of population. So I have to hand it to the city fathers and the county authorities in Las Vegas for the way that they handled that.
In Clark County, yeah. Yep. Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. I had mentioned our historian. He comes on our program regularly. Ken Scoville wanted to add a comment, of, I think, about the old Pueblo. Go ahead, Ken. You're with Mike Varney.
Hi, this is Ken Scoville.
Hi, Ken.
Bill, thanks for taking my call. I guess the question I have, and I'm not so into the name changing or that issue, but I guess, and I have the paper, and that was actually July 7, 2013, where Mr. Varney was quoted, we do whatever is necessary to propel our forward to grow, prosper, and compete with other cities. And I guess the concern I have from being a historic preservationist, among other things, is that I'm sure the Chamber of Commerce is supportive of the new housing towers on Park and Speedway, but those of us that either live or are concerned about the historic district, we just see this as sort of the first volley of a whole corridor of high density along the whole modern streetcar route.
Okay.
So I'm concerned that this propelling would also include destroying the historic core.
All right, let's hear Mr. Varney's response.
Well, philosophically, and it's, you know, without going from property to property or block to block, I would say philosophically that there's probably some middle ground there. Every city does its best to preserve its heritage, maybe with the exception of Las Vegas, which blows them up. But
they do keep some of the neons signs
the neon
from the
graveyard.
Old days.
Yeah. But there's no reason why we can't do here what many other cities do, which is to preserve the historic cultural structures for their historic and cultural value and still enjoy some degree of Renaissance, revitalization, and so forth. Frankly, there are some buildings that may be old, but may also be in decay. And just it's their time. They've come to a certain point. Their useful life is gone. The cost to restore them, to get them back to some kind of a working structure, are just extraordinary. Great story that I actually came across when I was in a different city, happens to be Oklahoma City, where in the downtown area, a developer wanted to build a 20-story tower. On that piece of property was a Frank Lloyd Wright-designed 1970s-era performing arts center. Mm. Problem is, the performing arts center had been vacant and unused for 15 years. It was slowly decaying, it become an eyesore, had no value to the community whatsoever. And the private sector and the preservationist and the historians came together, and the developer said, look, we'd like to keep this here too, but you need, if you're interested in preserving this building, you need to do what's necessary to bring it back to life, because otherwise it's just going to continue to decay. So the developer and the historians and the preservationists got together, and they worked out a formula for solving that, and they both came together, and in the end, the historians and the preservationists couldn't come up with the money necessary to get that done, so it is going to be raised. But that's a process where everybody came together, everybody had a fair shot at making their solution work, right. And we ended up where we did.
We're going to continue with Mike Varney after we take a break. This is our Friday Focus interview, Mike Varney with the president and CEO of the Metro Tucson Chamber. We'll be right back. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
West in La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
At Cox Business, we don't cook the entrees.
Order up!
But we are in the restaurant business. Just ask Kirsten Traina, co-owner of the Liberty Market Restaurant.
Power burger with cheddar.
She prefers doing business with local suppliers, including produce from a local farm, and internet and phone service from Cox Business. She counts on us for reliable internet, with speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL and feature-rich business phone service.
Margarita pizza!
And our award-winning local support team is available 24/7. Visit coxbusiness.com to get business internet select and phone for only $99 per month. Plus, ask about next-day professional installation.
And a carrot cake!
That's for me! Switch to Cox Business today and see how your business is our business. Offer valid until 9/30/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on max download speed of Cox Business Internet service 150 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second service. Other restrictions may apply. Next day install subject to availability. Eligibility restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to our Friday Focus interview. Mike Varney is here, president and CEO of the Tucson Chamber. I've only got about, say, 9 minutes to go with Mr. Varney. So much to cover. Mark Evans, also here from TucsonCitizen.com. And so why don't I kind of combine these two questions that lots of folks have concerns about, the F-35 not being based at DM and the future of the base, and the recent black eye about Grand Canyon University, and I wonder how much with Grand Canyon is that black eye going to go away, or is this going to be something around our neck for a long time? And if you would kind of combine your response also with the F-35.
Sure. Let's start with Grand Canyon. Earlier in this segment, Bill, we talked about having a no-first kind of approach to economic opportunity. I think this is an example of that, that before the parties who were working on this opportunity really had a chance to get it close to the finish line and really vet it so that the city council and TRIO and all the other bodies who were involved with this initial siting request from Grand Canyon, before all of those details could be worked out so that an intelligent package could be presented for public scrutiny and public comment, that the whole thing got torpedoed. Some information got leaked, and immediately the groups who are prone to not change and want to preserve at all costs came out and found a way, politically and otherwise, to torpedo the whole thing. And the people who had brought us a tens of millions of dollars worth of economic opportunity said, threw up their hands and said, okay, we just really don't feel like a fight to get our campus located here, so we'll look elsewhere. They've since decided to build a new campus, a second one in the Phoenix area. They're looking at Albuquerque and they're looking at Las Vegas. So it's not like Tucson was their only choice, take it or leave it. There are a lot of other cities where they can go, and they are going there. And they're taking a wonderful culture with them. So, really a big loss.
The F-35 and Grand Canyon, would you say those are issues that are emblematic of this tendency to say no?
Well, Grand Canyon is for sure. Davis-Monthan is here. It's not like we're saying no to Davis-Monthan or the 162nd. The F-35 is a replacement aircraft for the National Guard and for Davis-Monthan. There's talk that the A-10 might be phased out. So while the F-35 discussion was primarily linked to the 162nd Air National Guard Station, which is the base that trains our allies' pilots, now if the A-10 is phased out, we have to wonder, well, without the A-10, what will Davis-Monthan's future be? We've got whispers of sequestration and base realignment and closure, BRAC process going on. The military is going to be closing some facilities someplace, and so anything we do that doesn't show total support for our military assets here is not going to be perceived as a positive.
Here's
so
Mark
everywhere,
Evans.
During the BRAC closures of the 1990s and early 2000s, everywhere there was a BRAC closure, there was a resultant economic boon as that use was put to civilian use, and it was even a greater economic benefit than had been when it was military use. So with that history, wouldn't it be better to actually advocate for the closing of DM and to use that facility for the aerospace corridor that we've been talking about here for years?
Well, number one, I think the aerospace corridor is pretty well laid out right now by the county, and they've got great plans, and I think personally plenty of real estate to do that. One of the things that makes a defense and aerospace corridor a defense and aerospace corridor is that you've got airplanes flying somewhere. And if the F-35 for some reason doesn't go to the 162nd, you have to question the future of the 162nd. And if the A-10 goes away, that brings serious doubt into the future of Davis-Monthan. So how do you have a defense and aerospace corridor without having defense and aerospace operations? I hate to keep drawing comparisons, but it's one that I can be articulate about. Nellis Air Force Base, which is about 2.5 times the size of Davis-Monthan in Las Vegas, was the trigger, was the catalyst for a burgeoning defense and aerospace industry in that community. Without that air base, not sure that all of those defense and aerospace companies would be there. So I don't have the background that every one of the BRAC closure facilities, Mark, resulted in some kind of an improvement in the economy. There was an air base in northern Michigan called K.I. Sawyer, a huge economic contributor. I'd want to look at the records before making a factual statement. I'd be skeptical that K.I. Sawyer's economic impact was replaced by anything public or private in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Richard is with us. Rose, are we ready for Richard? We are. Richard, go ahead. You're with Mike Varney. Go ahead.
Yes, Mike, wanted to ask you, you sound familiar with Oklahoma City. I know that's my old hometown back in the early 90s when Oklahoma City was on the ropes trying to redo their downtown. They opened an economic development office in Southern California to try to pull companies into Oklahoma City. I know that Boeing and Northrop Grumman have been moving more and more operations there. Would Tucson be in a position to intercept those companies and possibly bring them here?
I don't think there's any question that any state surrounding the state of California is in the prime position to attract California companies, which are leaving in droves because of onerous regulatory intrusion into their operations. Their workers' comp system is a mess. The state, as you know, is on the doorstep of bankruptcy. It's a very, very difficult. They're perennially rated number 50 in terms of being able to do business in that state. Thank God they've got the Pacific Ocean, because without that, I'm not so sure that the exodus wouldn't be even greater. But yes, we are in a unique position here in Arizona, Nevada, Oregon, Utah, all of these states, New Mexico, even though they don't border, is in a great position for that. But we're not the only ones. Texas is luring those companies away. Oklahoma obviously is. You have experience with that. I believe that Trio has, as part of their strategies, I think they're taking a long, hard look at what they can do to go in and entice Southern California companies or California companies to state of Arizona and to Southern Arizona.
Mark, you have a quick one.
What did you think of the Starz Poverty series of the past week? And what do you think the role the business community needs to play to help resolve Tucson's crushing impoverishment?
Yeah. I thought it was a great series. I give the Star a lot of credit for doing a big series and a deep series on a subject that not very many people would say they're proud of, the subject of poverty. I salute them for bringing onto into the local conversation the nature of poverty in our community. If anybody listening ever receives a communication from the chamber, you've likely seen our little mantra, which is the best weapon in the war on poverty is a job. And so every time we lose an economic opportunity, we're losing the jobs that come with them. And by doing so, we're keeping families on the social rolls. We're keeping them in poverty. Instead of allowing men and women, the heads of households, to provide for their families through private enterprise and capitalism. And I think that's one of the insidious aspects of turning away economic opportunity, is that we not only don't have new taxpayers and people who are standing on their own 2 feet, Mark. We have people who stay on welfare. They stay in all of the areas. Drug and alcohol abuse rises, child abuse rises, all of the things that go with people who are depressed about not having a job, all of those things go north. And the social service agencies and the 501c3s that have to catch those people around here are stretched to the max. The solution, the short-term and long-term solution to that issue is jobs.
Okay, we're going to end on that note. Mike Varney, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, my pleasure. Mike. Thank you, Bill.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
And Mark will be staying around for our Reporters Roundtable. Coming up on the Buckmaster Show, Linda Valdez joins us from The Republic next.
With SRN News, I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Security officials in Egypt say the death toll in clashes across the country today has risen to at least 60. They say 52 civilians and 8 police officers died. Violence erupted today after protesters took to the streets, responding to the Muslim Brotherhood's call following the deaths of 638 people Wednesday. 2 Republican senators are calling on the Obama administration to suspend U.S. aid to Egypt amid spiraling violence there. Senators John McCain of Arizona and Lindsey Graham of South Carolina traveled to Egypt last week at President Barack Obama's request. McCain and Graham said today that the interim government and the military are taking Egypt down a dark path. And a military judge says Bradley Manning's prison sentence for leaking classified information through WikiLeaks will likely be announced next week. Manning faces up to 90 years in prison. This is SRN News.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI. We are here each weekday, 12:04 to 1 on Tucson's Intelligent Voice. It's time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable featuring local journalists who are kind enough to come in and talk with us about the top stories of the week. This week we have Linda Valdez. Linda is a columnist and editorial writer for the Arizona Republic, but she certainly knows Tucson, has lived in Tucson since 1992.
No, 1964.
64?
64, yes. I went to Phoenix. I lived in Phoenix for 2 years from 93 to 95, and other than that, I've been in Tucson since 1964.
Okay, and Mark Evans is with us, and Mark has been in Tucson since...
1992.
Okay, that's where I heard about 1992. Mark is the administrator for the Gannett Corporation-owned TucsonCitizen.com, a community of bloggers of which the Buckmaster Show is a contributor. If you have a question or comment, the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. This was not going to be my first question, but you saying, Linda, that you have been in Tucson since the 60s. I mentioned, and Mark heard this, during our interview with Mike Varney, the head of the chamber, we were talking about how Tucson has a tendency to say no to new projects. An initial tendency kind of is no. And I brought up that I was here from 65 to 69 initially doing my undergraduate work at the U of A. And I wonder if some of that tendency goes back to the no growth days of the 60s here in Tucson.
I have a feeling it probably does. It's sort of in the city's DNA that we want to say no to everything. We want to keep it the way it is. I think I was really interested in his comments about that, and I think that at this point, Tucson is not doing itself any favors in having that attitude. The Grand Canyon University is a perfect example of something that we should have tried hard to get. It was good economic development and good jobs, and instead, we chased them away. I think that was a mistake.
And we were, during the break, Mark, we were trying to kind of figure out, are there any other cities that we could think of that have this particular kind of peculiar tendency to say negative right off the bat? And we couldn't really think of any.
No, I can't think of any. I think some of that stems from the rise of the University of Arizona as the most dominant organization within the county, but both culturally, politically, economically, and a lot of that. Tucson is the biggest small town you ever live in, which was one of the phrases they used to kick around back in the 80s when they were rejecting crosstown freeways and other things that might have spurred development. I think that still persists in some areas. You also have the political infrastructure of the city, which greatly empowers the neighborhood associations. And when you give the power to the NIMBYs tend to say no a lot. Build that someplace else. And that's one of the reasons I think we've seen such great growth on the borders of Tucson, in Oro Valley, Marana, Sarita, Vail, which is now potentially going to incorporate, depending on what happens in the election coming
because
up.
Because those areas have a tendency say yes.
You look at Ventana Medical Systems, which is one of the fastest growing businesses
We interviewed their CEO on the show yesterday, Mara Aspinall.
And they're in Oro Valley.
Yeah, in Oro Valley. It's very peculiar, Linda.
Well, it is peculiar. I think Tucson, as I said before, I think it's in Tucson's DNA, and what we've done in the city is push developments out and away and benefit some of the other communities. I mean, in one sense, it's a good thing to preserve your historic amenities such as they are, but as Mr. Varney pointed out, some of the things people want to preserve are really not that valuable. They're not worth preserving. And if you don't create some sort of energy in your city core, then you're going to just not have a very good city as time goes on. And Tucson has never been good at attracting the high-paying jobs. people now, leave.
To the city's leaders' defense somewhat, I think that is our legacy. I don't know that everyone now thinks that that's a legacy that needs to be preserved. I see a different attitude on the city council, mostly led by the mayor. Mm-hmm. Linda just spent some time down in Mexico City with the mayor, with his efforts to try and build upon the rise of Mexico as an economic power and to try and focus some of that economic growth up through the United States, through Tucson, and benefit on that. So I think there is a change in attitude. The Grand Canyon University, I think, is horribly misunderstood. I think that's being used as a club to beat up the city. There was a historic opposition to that golf course and its use amongst that stems from the Chicano activist movement of the 1960s and 70s, mm-hmm. the political movement here, and it was a very sore point with that community on the west side. And to have the city go in and put in a university without even talking to them first irritated them, and they rose up, and it caused a council member to back down, and then it turned into a political football. I think that's a unique situation. I don't think it's really very representative of the current attitude towards economic development that exists on the council.
And there's another point too that needs to be made, and there was never an either or situation between Tucson or Mesa. Grand Canyon had already made that decision that they were going to do building in Mesa. It was not between Tucson and Mesa. And this is a point that came up yesterday when we interviewed Mayor Heiermath from Oro Valley. And Oro Valley had put in a bid also along with Tucson for Grand Canyon. He pointed out the Mesa thing had nothing to do with Tucson. So there's a lot of misunderstanding going on over the Grand Canyon.
Well, it became controversial because of El Rio, and then it just sort of there wasn't a lot of effort made to find another more suitable place or to accommodate them. And I think that was the problem. There was no effort to really accommodate them or to make them feel welcome.
And Mayor Rothschild said on your show a few weeks ago, Bill, that once that location suddenly became controversial, mm-hmm. Grand Canyon was very concerned. They did not want any bad feelings about their coming to the community, and so that made them pull back on that particular location and want to consider some other location. So it wasn't like the city pulled the rug out from Grand Canyon. There was a brief burst of negative publicity about it, and that gave Grand Canyon the willies. It wasn't necessarily some particular onerous action taken by the council to drive Grand Canyon out of the city. I think it's being mischaracterized.
But even when it comes to that location, I think cooler heads could have prevailed.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that would, I live on the west side, I live not far from there, and that would have been a good addition to the community in that area. It would have created some good jobs for people.
Linda Valdez is here, columnist and editorial writer for the Arizona Republic, and it is good to have the Republic have someone from Tucson on the editorial board. You can at least stick up for those of us in the old Pueblo, right, Linda?
Or remind them that we're here.
Right. Yes, that we are here and that we are relevant. The culturally relevant classes will be starting at TUSD. That decision was made by a 3-2 vote this week by the board. Wednesday, we had an interesting conversation with John Hoopenthal. It really was his first, I think, official reaction to that decision that TUSD had made. And he made it very clear, Linda, that the roadblocks are back up as far as he's concerned in the Department of Education over this issue.
This issue is such a sad issue that Republicans and Hoopenthal's predecessor, Mr. Horn, and certain others have used this issue as a cudgel. It's been used to appeal to their base, and they will continue apparently to use it that way. TUSD is in a no-win situation. The court says they have to have these classes. They say they've worked with the Department of Education, done their best. The classes are now elective classes. I don't see what more TUSD could try to do to satisfy the Republicans who are opposed to this. And I think it is more about ideology on the Republican side than there is any substance to the opposition to these classes.
I don't have anything to add to that. I agree completely. I mean, I think the real tragedy, not the real tragedy, but one of the tragedies of TUSD's predicament is that if Hoopenthal's really this upset about these classes, the due process that's afforded the district is by HB 2881 is heavily favored towards the superintendent. You know, they can go through the administrative law judge like they did last time, but if Hoopenthal doesn't like the decision, he can toss it out and still stick with his own decision. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't, but if the state takes some action, the district can't win. They just can't win, and they have, because of the way the law was written and its due process constraints.
We talked a little bit about this last week, I believe, about city elections being held. Tucson actually won another legal victory against the state over who really controls local elections. A Pima County Superior Court judge this week ruled in favor of Tucson and Phoenix, Linda, in granting a permanent injunction from a 2012 state law that would have required the two municipalities to hold their elections in even-numbered years. So Tucson can continue to hold elections in the odd-numbered years.
They can. Both cities can continue to do what their charter, what they want to do under their charter. The judge didn't rule on the constitutionality of the law, and it still applies to other cities around the state. But the judge did say that this was an intrusion into local control, and there was no good reason to do it. So it's a big victory for Tucson and Phoenix.
And, you know, there was debate over whether or not the odd years would give more attention to the municipal elections. I, for one, believe I like it in the odd years because it does focus. It lets you focus in the news media. Anyway, we can spotlight these municipal elections.
This was really just a disguised way to get more Republicans to vote in Phoenix and Tucson elections by pushing them into high turnout years rather than low turnout years, which are the odd years. The idea that more people would be able to vote in a presidential or election year or congressional election year rather than in the odd years, I thought was a specious argument. And you know, they must have some bad lawyers up there at the legislature giving advice to these Republican leaders, because this is the second time they've tried to interfere with local control and the state's charter law, and second time the courts have said you can't interfere with their elections. They either have to change the charter law or, you know, get better lawyers.
Linda, you had in your blog, Governor Brewer, mean-spirited or misguided? You give us a choice there.
Is that A, B, or C? Was nostalgic, yeah, for the days when, yeah, she could talk about headless bodies in the desert,
yeah,
and get some traction on that one. This was in connection with her opposition to giving driver's license to the Dreamers, the children who get deferred action, or young adults who get deferred action under Obama's Dream Act light. And she's still fighting to keep that position. She's still defending that position in court. And my premise was she's either mean-spirited or she's getting bad advice, because the days when that sort of thing was sold politically are thankfully behind us. The only people that still seem to be gung-ho on that, on denying any rights to the Dreamers, are the hardcore Republican primary voters, and I don't know what she needs them for at this point. So the other option is she's just nostalgic for those days when that's the reason she's in office now, is because she signed SB 1070. She rode that issue at a time when the public was a lot more receptive to it than they are now.
Her resistance is just petty. I mean, there's no harm to the state if these people are allowed to get driver's licenses like they are in the other states that have allowed it. It's just petty.
And this story, of course, caught everyone's eye. The government spending $13 million to build 21 homes in Ajo for Border Patrol people to rent out. I guess that comes out, Linda, to about $600,000 a piece.
Right. In a community where the average house goes for less than $100,000, and in a community where there was about a 30% house vacancy rate at the time they decided to build these houses. The amazing thing, the Republic ran that story on Monday, and now we've got John McCain and other members of the delegation saying why this is disgraceful and we must do something about this. To which I would say, what about oversight? You've been pouring all this money into DHS for years. You're prepared to pour billions and billions more. And this sort of thing happens because there obviously is not adequate oversight, has not been adequate oversight of that agency.
If you build it, they won't come because it's still AHO.
Oh, my goodness. That's going to wrap it up for our Reporters Roundtable for this week's edition. We will be back with Weekend Watch right after this on the Buckmaster Show.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Looking for that perfect late summer getaway? I recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Ranked number one on TripAdvisor, Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at bearmountainlodge.com.
Time to twist and shout out by the pool. Whenever we hear Weekend Watch's theme, it means it is the weekend, and Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. What a great weekend getaway it is over there. Only about three and a half hours east of Tucson, depending on where you are in the Tucson Valley. And here's the nice part, 15 degrees cooler. I was speaking to some of my friends in Silver City this week, and they said they have had tons of rain, which means that's good news because the Gila National Wilderness is all greened up. So it's a beautiful area to visit, and you can stay at Georgetown Cabins, Bear Mountain Lodge, Cottage of Whispering Canyon, to name a few. The full list at southwestnewmexico.org. Here he is, the host of Weekend Watch, Matt Russell, Inside Tucson food and beverage columnist and award-winning Tucson publicist. Interesting column today. We're talking a little bit about barbecue today, I think, in Inside Tucson Business. Matt?
Yeah, Bill, I take on one of the biggest issues that divides barbecue pitmasters across the country. So when it comes to ribs, which is better, the baby back or the spare? So I say pick up a copy of Inside Tucson Business and learn what I discovered from two local pros.
And we'll find out the verdict from you by looking at Tucson, Inside Tucson Business. How about tonight? We're always looking for a good happy hour.
Yeah, you got it, Bill. And the highly anticipated opening of Saint House Rum Bar downtown is finally here. Their doors just opened, so this is a creative Caribbean-inspired cuisine that is at its absolute best, with more than 40 artisan rums to wash it all down, making it my pick for happy hour today. So starting at 4 p.m., you'll get to feast on all your island favorites with fresh regional flavors and some of the most interesting daiquiris that I've ever come across. There's bound to be a rum for everyone, Bill, at the Saint House today at 4 p.m. Now, I think you've been known to enjoy a fine rum every now and again, Bill.
I have indeed. From all my travels to the West Indies, we have enjoyed some fine rums from the islands, and I'm sure that Saint House Rum will have all the fine ones indeed on available for them. New Italian restaurant in town.
Yeah, in our ongoing celebration of new ones, we found a place right up there on Oracle, just north of Ina, creating a lot of buzz. It's called La Mia Toscana, and they specialize in providing an authentic Tuscan experience. And now, how authentic is authentic? Well, Chef Giancarlo Stevanuto was born and raised in Tuscany, so it doesn't get much better than that. So I was there just last week, and I really enjoyed this salmon risotto with a champagne sauce topped with a little caviar. Oh, my goodness. Do yourself a favor and swing by La Mia Toscana for dinner this weekend.
Sounds yummy indeed, and it is still summer, as we know, in the old Pueblo, and that means the Tucson Originals celebrating the year 2013 with their summer special.
Yeah, and only two more weeks left to take advantage of this special. My pick this weekend, Bill, is Monkey Burger over there in the Williams Center. You can get any two of their gourmet burgers, any two sides, and two soft drinks for only $20.13. Now, of course, all of the Tucson Original specials can be found at TucsonOriginals.com. Again, only two more weeks to take advantage of the sizzling summer special.
Yeah, and of course, the new restaurants still keep opening up downtown. We're going to spend a half an hour on the show next week talking about downtown and what's been happening down there. That's going to be on Wednesday at the 12:30 half hour. So much. These new restaurants keep opening, don't they, Matt?
Yeah, so exciting to see. You know, Bill, I first came to Tucson in the late 70s, and downtown revitalization was being talked about then, and it's so encouraging to really see this all come about, and then the restaurants and the bars and the lounges all playing kind of a centerpiece part of that story. If you're a foodie or you love a great cocktail, downtown is a great place to enjoy.
All right, Matt Russell, thank you. Have a great weekend. We'll look for your column in Inside Tucson Business. Thanks, Matt.
Cheers, Bill.
All right, looking ahead to next week, we've got a very, very busy week. We're going to talk, as we talked a little bit today with Mike Varney, about the danger of DM perhaps being downsized in the future. We'll talk with a retired Air Force general who is really has the latest information about the lobbying effort to certainly keep DM alive. That's one of our guests on Monday. And of course, we'll have the Monday political face-off. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by our friends at Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan, for all your residential and commercial needs. We thank Culligan. All of our in-studio guests provided with a chilled bottle of Culligan. And everyone enjoys it, have not had one complaint yet. Why would they? The Culligan water just is so refreshing. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, the lovely and talented Rosemary Brant Rose does such a fantastic job on the other side of the glass for me. And our newest team member, our broadcast sales representative, Bob Richardson. I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend and reminding you the John C. Scott Show comes up this afternoon from 3 to 5, then Wake Up Tucson Monday morning 6 to 8, and all the expert talk begins with Phil Cedar and his gardening show tomorrow here on KVOI at 7 a.m. I hope you have a great weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.